Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Thanks to Mike for leading our call, our client call on Mosquito Joe. With that, I will turn it over to you, Mike.
Well, hey, everybody. It's good to have you on this call. I appreciate you attending. And if I don't get a chance to tell you during the call, wishing all of you a happy holiday upcoming. I hope you get a chance to spend it with family and friends. And I want you to know that your presents from me are in the mail, along with cards, but I don't expect anything in return. So I just want you to know that. We're going to talk about Mosquito Joe. I love it. I love this franchise. I've been somewhat successful with it. Let me start off with a few metrics. I sold three of these deals, one in Raleigh, one in Charleston, South Carolina, one in Charlotte. We've got about two or three more in the pipeline. And the problem is that it's also selling organically, so it's selling without me. I expect to put two or three or more of these in next year in 2000. I have sent 19 leads in this year to Mosquito Joe. I've had six clients go to Discovery Day to date. If you calculate that out, I've showed this business to about 30% of my clients, so I obviously I think Mosquito Joe at this point has sold about 56 franchises, 129 territories, and like year-to-date, FranNet has sent in 99 leads total November, so I've sent in 20% of them. FranNet has closed eight deals. I think this is a business where we can close a lot more, so hopefully I can get more of you to kind of show them. Start off with a confession. I've been in this business 20 years, and I really do try and be agnostic about my opinion of franchises and what we represent. And really, our clients need for us to be agnostic in the way that we present them. But I will admit that it's easier for me to get, see, and understand some franchises more than others. Mojo, I call it Mojo, by the way, for expedience sake. I tend to get this a lot. So let me tell you a little bit about the kind of businesses that I get, the kind of businesses that I like and that I find easy to position with clients. The franchises that I like have these attributes. They are simple, scalable, inexpensive recurring revenue models with great return on investment. I like franchises that have precedence, and by that I mean franchises, you have a franchise like Mosquito Joe. There were franchises that came before it. They experienced growth, particularly organically, but they didn't saturate the market. So for some of you, you might remember that we had Mosquito Squad before we had Mosquito Joe. By the time we got a hold of Mosquito Squad, it was sold out in North and South Carolina completely. But that tells me something about how good those businesses are and how accepted they are by obviously a lot of them. So with only one player in the game, which was Mosquito Squad, we left a lot of room for another concept to grow. And, of course, along came Mosquito Joe. They've been gaining market share very, very quickly. I also like relatively new franchises that are fast-growing and that are going into an expanding industry, perhaps with a new twist, a new idea. And what Mosquito Joe does is put a real emphasis on marketing. I like businesses where employees buy the business. And for those of you that have dealt with Jody Ramoino, you might know that she and her husband own she's the one of the salespeople for Mosquito Joe. They own a business, unfortunately, in Raleigh, and they live in Virginia Beach. I guess, finally, I love true lifestyle businesses that are semi-absentee. I think a lot of our franchisors say they're semi-absentee. I will tell you that Mosquito Joe is absolutely a semi-absentee business. I mean, where else do you have a business where you work 6 months out of the year and the other 6 months out of the year you're planning what you're going to do for the next 6 months? That's how this business works. So those are key attributes that I like in franchise. I think Mosquito Joe has them in spades. and I'm using them to position it with my clients. Might be helpful if I go over a quick description of the business for those of you that that aren't very familiar with it. Essentially, Mosquito Joe is in the pest control business. They kill mosquitoes. They kill biting insects, which includes horseflies, ticks, fleas, and down south, what we call no-see-ums. You may have them where you are. But they kill 30 different biting insects, and I think everybody just assumes they do only mosquitoes. Folks in Colorado and for the West, you've got bugs. Is there anybody on the phone here that's west of the Mississippi? In fact, what is interesting, I found out the other day that in Colorado and California, they have the highest rate of West Nile virus. Of course, that's carried by mosquitoes. This is a business where you develop routes of houses and businesses. The homes are sprayed on a 21-day cycle, which means 6 or 7 times a year for 7 months out of the year. It's a very quick process. It takes about 15 minutes. Mosquito Joe can also go in and install the misting systems that actually do this automatically, but they don't do much of that. The cost for a spray is about $70, which means that each client spends about $650 a year. They get a discount if they sign up for the whole season. It's a low investment business. It's under $100,000. It's about $70,000 to start one territory. And here's something that's very impressive. Nationally, their retention rate of customers exceeds 82%. When you have a high customer retention rate, you have a recurring revenue model. They pay by credit cards. I'm sure some of them probably pay cash. It's a Monday through Friday service business. Occasionally, they work on Saturday because they might have a rain day. It's mostly – can you all hear okay? Okay. It's mostly business.
We are experiencing some background noise, Mike. So whoever is on the call, it sounds like they're at a networking function or something's going on in the background. If you could mute your line, that would be great. Thank you.
If they don't, Tracy, you want to go ahead and mute everybody, that's fine.
Okay.
Mosquito Joe is mostly a B2C business, but they are developing business-to-business. That's a growing part of their business. Not only do they spray homes, they do child care, nurseries, churches, golf courses, restaurants, city parks, which I think a lot of people probably don't know. It's a business that requires a few employees, not a lot. A lot of employees in this business would be 5 or 6. They used skilled labor they don't use minimum wage, folks. They have as employees college kids, but they also have EMTs, firemen, civil service people that are good with people. And the reason that occurs is because firemen, for example, can be on 48, off 48, and they're looking for work. These are good guys to have in your workforce. They have a very smart management team. If you've ever heard Kevin Wilson, he's the president of the company. He's a Bain Capital guy. He's a smart guy. He's got some good ideas. They've got a solid financial base. They were launched with about $4 million. So investment capital likes this business. They have a great item 19, and they have a new one, by the way. We need to update the two-minute drill. But their item 19, their new one, is really fantastic, and it shows the home office, which is one territory, with $600,000 of sales and a 37% net profit on about 1,500 homes. And that is a very attainable number for franchisees. So it's a very cool business. I think it's a very cool business anyway. I know some people probably don't. I think it's got a cool name to it. I think customers love it. It's got some cool slogans. Their motto is outside is fun again. And it's just a really, I think, cool branding business. It's just an easy business for a simple boy like me to probably understand and offer it to my clients. You know, one of the things I do when I'm positioning this with my clients is I use examples. And I'll ask somebody, you know, have you ever tried to go out in your yard in the summer and you just get bitten up? And I talk about me and my wife going out to the backyard. I mean, she can't stay out 5 minutes, and she's running inside because she's getting eaten up by mosquitoes. They don't seem to affect me as much. But I find that when I find that everybody says, of course, we have that same thing. And I think when you have that kind of tactile representation, I think it plays very well with your clients, and they begin to get the business. So obviously, I like this business. I'll just say one other thing about how I set this up. In my seminars and my webinars, I talk about certain franchises all the time as examples. I do this because I want people to, you know, they come in with preconceived ideas. I want them to have a more open mind. I talk about ugly businesses. I talk about semi-passive businesses. But it sets them up for coming to see me later on. This year I've talked about Mosquito Joe. I talk about hair care. I talk about CPR. And these are really kind of my horses that I run with. And I will say that most of my clients have been to a seminar or a webinar before they come see me. So obviously I have some, hopefully I have some method behind this madness. I did send out an assessment. I hope you had a chance to download it. We can talk for a few minutes about my client, Rich Cohen, who was my first Mosquito Joe sale, came to me from an outplacement firm. Rich was a marketing management guy with IBM, had a sales background, marketing background. In fact, he was Global Marketing Executive of the Year in his division, which I got the feeling was a big reward. And much of what he was marketing was IBM software capabilities, digital marketing solutions. He was supporting sales efforts. And like I said, he had sold in the past. His background was mechanical engineering or electrical engineering software design. Few other important things about Rich and his family. Rich was spending a lot of time taking care of parents that were in failing health, his father in particular. His wife was involved in that. She was also helping taking care of the parents. His wife, by the way, great gal, good sales background, wonderful personality. They wanted to work together, but they weren't sure to what extent. Rich figured that he would probably be full-time, and his wife, whose name was Margarita, would work considerably less. But very, very likable people that wanted to work together. Another thing that's important is that Rich's father and his brothers all own their own business. I always like this. You have a guy that's been in a corporation for 30 years, but the rest of his family are entrepreneurs. He's always thought about this. And this was a good time for Rich to jump off the bandwagon and into his own business. Had a good net worth, about $1.1 million. It was obvious that we'd have to roll over some money from his retirement plan, but he was okay with that. So if you are looking at the assessment, of course, you'll find out that Rich was an achiever emulator. The emulator component was really quite high. I think his whole assessment was a bit of a study of contradictions, but as you went through it, you really did realize that he was a high, I said achiever emulator, I meant emulator achiever. He was a high emulator. I won't go into the assessment in detail, but I do want to talk about putting the business model together and how we did it. So think about emulators for a second. They're risk takers. They're kind of trendsetters. They like new things. They want flexibility, all of which you can get with a relatively new franchise that's growing, like Mosquito Joe. Emulators like instant gratification, don't they? They like to be able to grow something quickly. When you start up a Mosquito Joe franchise, it really starts ramping up immediately. Once you start calling on customers, this is not a slow ramp-up business. I always find that emulators have a low compliance ratio, at least a relatively low compliance ratio. They don't like rigid structure. Mosquito Joe. Here's kind of the fly in the ointment. Emulators tend to be rather image conscious and rather stylish, and I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say that Mosquito Joe is a business for the image conscious, but you would be surprised. It's a very, very cool business compared to a lot of the home service businesses out there. It stands up very well, especially with their branding. When I'm talking to customers and I'm positioning this, oftentimes, and especially with emulators, I'm talking about colorful vans running around neighborhoods, a business that can grow. This especially works on visuals, and it tends to work to have people understand what this business really is all about. So remember, Rich is an emulator achiever. What are achievers? They like structure. They like planning. They like procedures. They like the ability to work with family. Well, this is, Rich is set up for this. He and his wife want to work together. One of the things he really liked was procedures laid out for him. He wanted to concentrate on marketing, not concentrate on developing operating procedures. When you combine emulators and achievers together, what you get with an emulator achiever is somebody that likes limited employees, aggressive growth, something that can gain market share quickly. They also like a say in policy making, all of which you get many times with a younger franchise, and certainly with Mosquito Joe in this case. So I'll just talk about our first meeting for a second. I usually have two meetings with clients. The first one is to build a business model. The second one is to present the concepts. He brought his wife. I thought that was great because she was a real key part of this. In that meeting, we're developing the business model. We're going over the assessment. We're verifying it. We're drilling down into questions and answers that are not provided on the assessment. We're eliciting some pain. In this case, Rich really did not want to go back to corporate life. He had grown very tired of it. Working and traveling too much, wanted a flexible lifestyle, and wanted to be able to take care of his parents. So here's kind of a summary of the business model. We needed a business that would build an income that would be at least equal to what he was making. Now, he was making, I think about $180,000 a year, but he was getting a heck of a retirement package and a good pension of something like $50,000 or $60,000 a year plus benefits. So we needed a business that could make up that difference between that and $180,000. I think Mosquito Joe gives that to you based on their item 19. He wanted a business where he could work with his wife as a team, wanted a business where he could use his skill set. And his skill set was creativity. It was creativity and marketing solutions. His wife had a good sales background. She was good at customer relationships. He wanted a business that could ramp up very quickly. Emulators like that. He wants to see growth. And certainly this Mojo can give that to him. Only wanted a few skilled employees. Didn't want minimum wage. Wanted creative license in designing marketing programs. Now, look, a lot of franchisors aren't going to give that. They're very structured systems. But in the case of a business like Mojo that is all about marketing, people like Rich like this kind of business. I thought what was really interesting is he wasn't image conscious. I mean, this is an emulator that wasn't image conscious. He wanted a good, solid business model. And image was not necessarily an issue to him. Felt like he could see all kinds of business models. He didn't necessarily want to sell. He thought he was good at it. But he said, if I could sell initially and then turn it over to Salesforce or somebody else building a network of repeat customers, I would be interested to take a look at this. And again, Mosquito Joe. Wanted a franchise with a great operational procedure. Figured he's paying for it, why not get that so he can spend his time on marketing the business. Really wanted a lifestyle business, flexible business hours, downtime was necessary, weekends off. Knew that his parents were going to get worse, he had to take care of them. He also had a son that was a very, very good ball player, was getting ready to go to college, wanted to see him off. Rich wanted to spend $150,000 to $200,000 at the most for a business. So that was the business model. And I thought what I would share with you is what I showed him. Because what I showed him was WSI. I showed him ATC Medical Staffing. and I showed them Supercuts. Those were the first three franchises, and I won't go into all the reasons for showing them, but they did kind of stack up well with his profile. What I did not show him was Mosquito Joe. And the reason I didn't is because it wasn't in our inventory at the time. I didn't know about it. Rich spent a couple of months looking at ATC medical staffing, came very close to buying it, decided ultimately that it would take too much time and would be too long to ramp up. Fortunately, we had just learned about Mosquito Joe, and before we even brought it into inventory, I got all the information on it. I thought this would be a great fit for him, so I presented it to him. I positioned it as meeting all the things that he wanted, told him it might not be as sexy as some of the businesses he was looking at, but it gave him that recurring income and that scalability and those the flexibility, those things that he really, really wanted. It gave him fast growth. His wife could work in it part-time. And it was amazing. I mean, she got it immediately. She said, boy, this sounds great. He got it a couple of hours later. In 2 weeks, they were at Discovery Day. 4 weeks later, they bought the business. So that's kind of what happened. I will let you know that I met with him last week as a follow-up because he was too busy to see me during the summer when he was working. He exceeded his first-year goal of 250 paying households. Over the course of 3 years, he expects to build his business in two territories to about 2,000 households, somewhere around $300,000 to $350,000 of cash flow. So I'll shut up because it looks like I probably run over a little bit here, but that's kind of how I position and present this business, and I really like it, and I think it appeals to a lot of people. So Tracy, I'll shut up and answer any questions.
Anyone have questions for Mike?
Don't be stunned.
Can't believe there aren't any questions out there.
I got one. This is Steve out in California. How you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Pretty good. Hey, body language. How much do you really pay attention and watch the body language when you're talking to them, and what did they show? Excitement?
You know, to be honest, in this case, Steve, I don't remember. The answer to your question is I do pay some attention to body language. I have, you know, like you probably, I've learned that years and years ago, and it's, you know, it's called mirroring your customers. If they lean back, I lean back. If they lean forward, I lean forward, that sort of thing. I honestly, because this was some time ago, don't remember exactly what we were doing, but Rich was a kinesthetic, interestingly enough. So one of the things that I did do from a communication standpoint, even though this guy's he's an emulator, achiever, but kinesthetic, some of this stuff didn't mesh that well, I don't think. But that's how I talked to him, in a kind of laid-back fashion about things he could do. I think he was appreciative of that. I don't remember a lot about how I mirrored his positions.
Good. Okay, thank you.
This is Mark Roger in Indiana.
Hey, Mark.
Hi there. A question for you. How did the husband and wife just divvy up the duties and responsibilities? What did she wind up being responsible for?
Well, great question. And what she was brought in to do and what she ended up doing was really more the initial customer contact. She was very good at that. So somebody's got to be there when calls come in. Somebody's got to be there to answer the phone, explain it to them, and sell them the business. Whereas Rich turned out to be the guy that put the operation together, got out and kind of ran his two or three employees, and really for the first year, or in this his case, the first 3 months, called on customers as well, so he could learn the business. They seem to like that sort of separation. He works in the business far more than she does.
Mike, this is Jim Rhodes up in Minnesota. I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
Seeing that we have our share of mosquitoes, this is an interesting adventure for us. I noticed when you were working with this gentleman, there's two things that I see here that caused me to think about why this. One was when he said to ramp up his business, he enjoyed to spend much of the time out in the field, personally initiating contact. He put no. Doesn't this require that?
Yep, sure does. You might remember at the very beginning I said his assessment had some inconsistencies in it. And what was interesting,
okay.
And what was interesting, I'm looking at an emulator achiever who actually says, you know, I'm really not interested in cold calling, right?
Exactly.
But once we, this is why we have two-hour meetings and we really drill down into this. Once we started talking about that, what he really admitted and what he really said was, look, I don't mind cold calling. In fact, I was quite good at it. I don't want to do it all the time. I want to be able to do it initially. I want to be able to maybe bring on a sales force. I want to build customers and then kind of back away from that end of it. I'm good with customers. I just don't want to spend the next 10 years cold calling. I hear that, by the way, from a lot of clients. So, his QSR said one thing, but when you really drilled down to it, you began to understand exactly, you know, what he was saying. And if you look at those questions in the QSR where they talk about on a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in sales? What was he, about a 5 or a 4 or a 6 or something like that? You could tell there was somebody there that really wasn't sure. But when we drilled down, I think we got a better answer.
Okay.
Which, by the way, was what he actually liked, ATC staffing, which is a sales-oriented business.
Wow. The other piece I had a question on, thank you very much because that helped me with that one, and drilling down is probably, as a newer associate, these are gems of wisdom for me. When you look at the hierarchy of values and you see that he has three wild cards, I know you mentioned the inconsistencies, so here's another one. How do you drill into the wild cards to find out what's motivating that?
Well, in this case, the answer to that question, does that come under core values, I think, doesn't it?
Values and motives, yeah.
Values and motives, I'm sorry. It seems like one of those was simplicity. Am I right on that?
You're right. Effectiveness, simplicity, and relationship were all wild cards.
Exactly. And I told you at the beginning, I love simple businesses, and I think that this related to that. He liked building relationships. He wanted to make sure that his customers had a really, really good experience. He considered himself good at building customer-centric businesses. So, I don't remember a lot about that, Jim, but what I do remember, that was some of the things that I looked at, and that's some of the ways that I drill down into that.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been great.
Anybody else?
Anyone?
Going once?
Okay, I guess we are concluding our call. And thank you, Mike, again for sharing, and thank you for joining our call today on Mosquito Joe. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Thanks a bunch. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Merry Christmas.